To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel, here with co-host Rachel Haynes. Hey, Rachel.
Hey.
And we are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. We are both public school teachers, and we host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today in the studio is Beth Blumkoltz. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Blumkoltz, but very close.
Thank you. Okay. And also Jimmy Applehands.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you.
So can you both tell us about your background and experience driving students with special needs?
Well, myself, I've completed 6 years driving, and my experience prior to that has just been having some family friends who may have some special needs, adults and children that I grew up with, and just having an appreciation for people with differences, I can definitely say it's been a blessing just for me. It's enhanced my life to have the different family by choice and friends and so forth, and being a person of African American descent, I've experienced some times where people have treated me based on appearance or because of gender or whatever it is. And so I understand that the students that we serve, special education, we are their voice. If we don't speak up on their behalf and for their families, then they may not have any other opportunity to have their needs to be made more clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this will be my 4th year working for Portland Public Schools directly. I used to work for the contractor for a student before that, so I have a total of 8 years school bus driving behind my belt. I've worked with adults with special needs before that with at vocational site. And I love what I do. And I enjoy my job.
Great.
So, it sounds like we covered some of these other ideas here. I guess maybe what do you enjoy most about your work and find most valuable in your day-to-day life?
I think one of the things for me, I don't have children of my own, and I really enjoy connecting and working with children, and it gives me that outlet to be able to do that for my community.
Yeah, and I love to see them grasp a skill, whichever it is that we're working on. Some it may be with behavior, and maybe even as simple as practicing our manners, our please and thank yous, and connecting and being able to express themselves. Some of our students are nonverbal, so eye contact might be the biggest thing that you get, or maybe a touch of a high five. And it sends something through you. You know, you feel very proud that you're a part of that child's network and support group. And from that, I've been invited to birthday parties, graduations, wrestling events, all kinds of things. It's great, and I love it.
You're building relationships with these kids.
Absolutely.
Some of them you're with multiple years.
Yeah,
driving them.
Okay. Absolutely, and stay in touch with
and a part of their educational process and progress, it sounds like, as well.
Yeah, right. Absolutely, and a lot of the teachers really get it, which is awesome, because we're able to collaborate, and they may tell us, hey, so and so may have had a rough day today, or had a great day, and we can help them process or help them celebrate, mm-hmm. On the way home, or help them prepare for a really good day. So it's very rewarding position for sure.
Yeah, for a lot of these kids, we're the first people that they see in the morning were the last people they see after leaving school. We're that connection from the home to the school, and we take our jobs very seriously.
Do you, I'm curious, do you get any kind of special training as opposed to, I know the Portland Public doesn't use regular busing much for their students, if at all, I'm not sure. But a lot of districts do. Do you get any sort of special training in terms of dealing with kids with special needs?
Yes, we get lots of training. Okay. Every year, we have
to just how to drive the bus.
Yeah, not just how to drive the bus. Yeah. We have to maintain a certain amount of educational hours in order to keep our school bus driving certificate, and we have to keep up on that.
Okay. Great, and I think that this is great to have you here, partly because sometimes when we talk about educators, we just think about, oh, that's just another word for teachers. But I think that there's also beginning to be at least an effort to call folks educators rather than teachers, and include bus drivers and include the custodians and include the, you know, the Absolutely. Cafeteria workers and the secretaries, because they're all educating our kids. They're all part of that process.
Right. We can all remember that special person in our lives for positive or negative, you know, reinforcement that we had growing up. We can all remember, you know, at least one person that had such an impact on us that as adults we still remember. And what I found with becoming a special education school bus driver is that the other drivers, my coworkers, they love what they do. They feel not necessarily an obligation, but almost a calling. And this is what they, you know, they're doing at this time, and they want to continue to do it because of the relationships that are developed and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what are some of the challenges that you typically face as a driver?
Traffic.
Scooters.
Yeah. Right.
We're basically a mobile school. We are challenged with maintaining order and peace on the bus while going through traffic. Mm-hmm. While, we have to focus both on keeping the kids safe and keeping their education going while they're going. And every single kid on that bus has different needs and different levels of understanding. And we have to manage that on a daily basis.
Do you sometimes have to pull over and
I personally have.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's one of the many tools we have in order to be successful.
Absolutely. And then trying to maintain a schedule. Yeah. So pull over, but you still got to be on time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Drive safe. Mm-hmm. But let's get the kids to school on time, get them home, and so forth. It's definitely a lot of things that we're juggling at one time. And, you know, with our students, there's a lot of meltdowns. And there's no controlling how long that meltdown will be. And if they're not able to communicate what it's from, then we have to figure out what's happening and why and then how to properly, you know, take care of it, because what works for one student may not work for the other student. And so it's there's definitely driving, there's a lot of expectations. The families are looking for us to be consistent, for us to be there each and every day, for us to care for their student in that their child's with their child's specific need in mind. So it's definitely there's a lot to juggle. And then, of course, we have our expectations from our employer. And, you know, navigating everything, it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit.
And it sounds like because of that relationship that you're developing with your students on your bus, that maintaining that relationship and consistency for the students is really important. So having drivers be able to stay the same route with the same kids and build that relationship over time.
Absolutely. You said it just perfectly. And that's one of the issues that we've really dealt with. I've been there 6 years and I've seen some really great drivers leave. And not because they just want to leave. Many of them want to stay, but the, you know, they haven't been able to support themselves financially for the kind of work that we do, for the city that we live in, and so they've had to move on, whether it be another driving position. You know, we have drivers who've gone on to TriMet, other drivers, driving companies, and then mm-hmm. just switching completely. And I've run into some of them over the last few years, and they'll ask, oh, you know, who has so-and-so? What school do you have? Do you have so-and-so? How is he doing? How is she? Tell her parents hi. So it's challenging to talk about how wonderful the opportunity is to be a special education school bus driver, and then at the same time to lose really great people, really qualified, caring, patient drivers. And those parents, they want that consistency, because they see it with their children. They see how their children come home and go to bed easier and get up easier and go out the door easier, so they can go to work. You know, they can have peace of mind knowing that their child is okay, and that they trust us that if anything happens, you know, the school or our radio room dispatch will let them know. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be notified in one way or another, and the trust is built with the parents and the students.
Right. About how many bus drivers are there?
With Portland Public Schools, yeah, we have about 100.
Okay.
And so that fluctuates plus or minus, you know, say 5.
Yeah.
Then First Student has several hundred, because they have general education and special education. So they're contractors with Portland Public Schools. Mm-hmm. Jimmy and I, we are Portland Public School employees directly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, one more question just about your job. Tell us a little bit about a typical day for you, because I think most people can picture you're driving a bus, mm-hmm. you're picking kids up, you're helping them get in, you're settling them down, and you're dropping them off at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But beyond that, if you sort of went through a typical day, what would that look like?
It definitely starts with getting to work and checking the bus. We have to do a pre-trip every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
We check the engine, we check the tires, we check and make sure all of the lights work. Make sure that everything is up to code so we can get out and be on time.
Mm-hmm.
After we make sure the bus is ready, then we start our day and start picking up the students.
Are there backup buses if one of them's not ready?
Yes, there okay. are backup buses. Okay. They have to maintain a certain percentage for the fleet.
Yep. Yeah. And then the pre-trip starts all over.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, make sure that bus is good. Absolutely. Yeah. And I smile when I think about my day of this last school year. I had one particular school. I had students, all boys, who they were on the bus. They were in special education they've gone through something traumatic in their lives. And so the very first day, I got cussed out, you know, partly it's because they're afraid. They don't know what to expect. They, you know, want me to know they're in control, you know, that kind of a thing. So by the end of the year, I had those same students who were, you know, hoping that, you know, they have me this next coming school year. So that's wonderful. That's great. However, a regular day, somebody is arguing with somebody. So imagine you have two or three kids, and a lot of listeners probably have two or three kids. They're in the back of their car arguing and fussing, and you're telling them, hey, not today, come on, so-and-so, you know, say that nicer, you could say it better. You know, just regular navigation and balancing with your children. Well, then you have students who don't have the skill set, and they don't have the same understanding as other students their age. And then you have 8 or 9 of them. And so one triggers another, and another triggers another, and you know what I mean? It just mm-hmm. it just bounces like a ping pong or a pinball machine. So that was one school. That was daily, in the morning and in the afternoon. But the mm-hmm. issues were always different, because then on the way home, somebody's mad at somebody because they didn't play with them at recess, or they didn't, you know, somebody got a better grade and maybe, you know, kind of put it in the other person's face. Again, we're helping with behavior and skill set. Then I have another school where the student would say something and then within 30 seconds repeat the exact same conversation. So, and that student was on the bus for over an hour. And so we had this same conversation every single day, you know, whatever topic that was on her mind, and that's what we talked about. Mm-hmm. So having the patience, so imagine, you know, and this is where our plea kind of went out to the school board for the district, as well as whoever they report to behind the scenes and the superintendent, is, you know, you get frustrated with your own kids. We have anywhere from 5-9 kids on the bus, mm-hmm. and we have a timeline. We have expectations. Every child is different. Every child comes from a different household with different rules. And, you know, we are expected to get them ready and prepared mentally for school. So when they get off the bus, they're relaxed, they're calm, and so forth, you know, and to help them decompress after school. So it's a very full afternoon or morning, and your brain, you might feel like, ooh, they got it all today.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio.
Okay, so you brought up bargaining a little bit there, and I wanted to ask you about your bargain with the district for a better contract. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're asking for?
Well, yeah, we started over a year ago. Contract negotiations has lasted since we started last July,
mm-hmm.
and we have been, since the beginning, I feel like we've been asking for to be compensated for what we do, and especially for the city that we live in. Cost of living is skyrocketing. Rent is just out of the picture for some of my coworkers. They mm-hmm. can't afford to live in the city anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We had a coworker living out of his car.
Mm-hmm.
We have coworkers who live in Battleground, Estacada, and they have to get to work by, depending on their check-in time, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I can't even imagine all the traffic that would involve.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel we've been asking for a fair wage this whole time. It's been a long year. It's been a hard-fought year. They started with the negotiations. Please sign this piece of paper that says there will be a wage freeze for the next 2 years. And we said no. We came back to the table continuously, asking for more of the, and not just the wages, there's other little things, like some of the things we were asking for, like different ways to do the sick leave, mm-hmm. that would honestly benefit them as well as us. Mm-hmm. It would mean less people calling in sick to work on a regular basis, which they seem to be having a problem with. And it's other issues involved. They have a new, it's hard to explain in such a short time, but type 10 drivers are drivers that don't need all of the different regulations to drive the large school bus. They drive a smaller sedan or a van,
mm-hmm.
And they are not giving them health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that they deserve that. And so as part of our negotiations, we've been asking for that. It's been a long year, and we feel that they didn't even start listening to us until we showed up to the school boards. After we started showing up to the school board meetings,
Your yellow shirts.
With our yellow shirts, mm-hmm. yeah.
That you're wearing right now.
My new favorite color that I never thought I'd be seen in.
We have to sign up for public comment because, unlike other parts of the education system here in Portland, we don't have the ability to just ask for time on a school board meeting.
Hmm.
It was one of the things we asked for in this contract. We did not get it so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's been frustrating to have to sign up for public comment every other week. Usually they're almost every other week.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long year.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that.
Definitely. There's, what I can share with you right now, we we would, there's certain things that we would normally say. However, we have reached a tentative agreement. And so we just presented the complete proposal from the district to our membership today, just a few hours ago. We will be voting on it tomorrow, and we'll see how the results go. If the drivers reject it, we'll be prepared to take a strike vote. If the drivers accept it, we'll be coming back to the table in June of, you know, the end of the school year coming up, and we'll be coming back stronger than ever. So the results can go either way. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of the membership who participated over this last year and coming out to our rallies, coming out to school board meetings, and you know, handing out flyers, trying, you know, doing what they could to let the public know. And then so we feel, what I can say is, we, in our tentative agreement, we the district asked us to recommend a yes vote, and with doing that, we were able to negotiate a couple other things that were important. And we did not get everything that we would have liked to have had. Mm-hmm. We would have liked to have more financially, as well as some other items, as Jimmy touched on, being able to speak to the school board, mm-hmm. Much easier, and not being part of the public of six people, you know. So, but we feel as though we've gone as far as we can go without a strike. Hmm. So, you know, to this point, the next step, if our membership, if our coworkers vote tomorrow to reject it, then the next step is to prepare for a strike vote.
How many people on your bargaining team?
When you say, like, in the meeting, the negotiations, there's five, yes, of us.
Five of you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we represent about 100 drivers. Okay. Yeah.
And how will the vote take place?
The vote will take place, just, you know, paper, drop it into a box. They'll be, okay, counted. And it'll all be done tomorrow. We're actually in our orientation. So in the summers, we're basically off. We do have drivers that drive over the summer for summer school or do different things to help prepare for the upcoming school year. And so we had to wait until we were all together. And so today we're all together, and then tomorrow we will be again. And so we'll vote tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll have the results by tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. and I just wanted to touch on something about bargaining, because I know that both of you are on the bargaining team, and I just want people to understand kind of what that entails and how much work goes into that. So can you talk a little bit about how much time outside of your normal work day, you gave to bargaining?
I can say there are five of us on the negotiation team, and our coworkers were pretty clear of what they wanted for this negotiation. And one of the things was feeling like we needed some more advancement, respect, seen as valuable, because mm-hmm. we know individually, you know, we have value greater than we have been treated. And so there was actually, when we did our research, there was actually three, just within the last 10 years, 4 years where in a row where the incoming wage was the same. So no cost of living, no, you know, no nothing. And so as we did our research, and I did a lot of research because I didn't want to say something that would be incorrect. Definitely not perfect. There's a couple times I may have had a detail wrong, but for the most part, everything that we said, you know, we negotiated in good faith. We put in hundreds, literally hundreds of hours outside of our regular work, mm-hmm. and we drove our routes. Other than when we were in negotiations, then we were taken off at those times. It's a lot of work because we go into negotiation. We'd say what we would want. They would say, okay, well, why? And then we have to have documentation. So as I began to learn, you know, the kind of the momentum and the process of, this is my first negotiation. Mm-hmm. So it was a learning curve for four of us, learning as we went. One of the other negotiators, she commented multiple times, it had never been like this before. Because they fought us on everything, the district did. I mean, everything was just no, 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 no. And some of the things that we have now in the tentative agreement, they gave back to us. So it makes it seem as though they gave us something. But it was something that we already had in the contract before. Mm-hmm. And we had to keep saying, you can't take it. Mm-hmm. And everything that we did get, we fought hard. It's been over a year. They didn't give us anything. It's nothing where it just was not a pleasant process. I can say that. And so the rest of the team, you know, helped out, and we were doing rallies, school board meetings, preparing messages. I spoke, Jimmy spoke, a few other drivers spoke. We had a parent speak on our behalf just a few weeks ago, and she brought her son there. So it was a lot. It was a lot. We're definitely more prepared for next time. Mm-hmm. You know, if they show up without a proposal the first time, you know, we'll file whatever we can on our end, whatever grievance or complaint, whatever it's called. We will immediately. Mm-hmm. We won't wait around like we did before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are we going to find out how this vote turns out?
Well, we have a rally set up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
We will be at the Portland Public School main building, the district building, at 501 North Dixon Street, Portland. And we have a rally beginning at 5:15 tomorrow, Tuesday, August 14th. And after the rally at 6 o'clock, we'll go inside. And I will actually be speaking tomorrow, and I'll be sharing a story of someone who is an adult now, in his 40s, and he used to ride special education school bus. And he came up to me a few weeks ago, and he said, you guys have to keep going. You have to keep going. You're doing a good job. Because he could tell that the what we're trying to work for isn't just about money for us individually, but it's money so we can stay doing what we love doing in a city that we grew up or have been living in for quite some time, and you know, for the work that we do. And he said, you guys do make a difference. He said, I am who I am today because of the bus drivers I had before. He said, because they cared about me. So we're gonna share his story, and he's coming tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Sounds like a powerful message.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you both so much for coming. It's been really incredible hearing your experience, and I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, great. Yeah,
for
sure.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate you. Thank you for having us.
So thank you for joining us on KBOO, and thanks to our engineer, Mike. Thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tune in on Thursday, August 31st at 8 p.m. to celebrate the queer programmers and the queer community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Emma Lugo of Transpositive will host this special on-air program. You can join us that night at the Queer Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 31st. More information about the Queer Community Open House and anniversary programming is available at kboo.fm.
We're Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African highlife, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rank in Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move ya.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system.